Well, good morning. How are you? That's good. You know, I just to let you know, I actually got a very good teaching on how to preach good yesterday. I learned something. I was taking my girls they went with Grandma and Grandpa to the lake this weekend, and on the way there, Emily asked, "Are you staying with us at the lake?" I said, "Well, no, I got to preach tomorrow." "You're the preacher now?" I said, "Well, no, just for a Sunday," I said, "because it's hard work, and it's something that I really wouldn't want to do, to be honest." So, but I said, "I got to speak tomorrow." And I said, "It's kind of hard." She said, "Well, it's not that bad," she said. "All you do is read the Bible, and you just say it in a really loud voice. And then after you read it, you explain what you said, you explain what you read, and you just say it in a really loud voice again. So if I speak really loud today, you'll know why." So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. God, you are so good. And I just pray that you would just anoint this message today. I pray that it would bless people here. God, it's all about you. We just want it to reach good, fertile soil today. I pray that you would use me, Lord, that you would anoint this word, that it be you speaking and not me. Because we just want to bless you today, Lord. And we thank you for that you're with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to start out by saying, I really like you guys. I do. I like you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, Nikki and I did a marriage session one went to this marriage thing one weekend, and the guy said, you know, they had the couples look at each other, and they had you look right in each other's face and tell each other that you love your spouse, right? Like, "I love you," and then you would thank them for it. Because, you know, sometimes we say things, "We like you and, you know, we love you," but really, you know, some people don't believe it. You know, it's easy to think the worst of yourself, you know. So that's beautiful. You're beautiful, Mary. I love you. But yeah, honestly, I really like you guys. You are family. And today we're going to talk about something called Family Matters. But before I do that, I kind of just want to give you a state of the union as to kind of what's happening in the church and where we're going, because I think it's important that as we go through this transition, we want you to know as a leadership what's happening. So our search committee met again last week, and actually, if it hasn't gone out already, it'll be going out this next week. Our job description for the new pastor, it's going to be sent out into the avenues that it needs to get out there for potential pastors to start looking at, so that's been taken care of. About the second week of August, we are going to have an administrative person hired on here. We're working out the final details of that to come and give Tyson a hand with looking after kind of the day-to-day administrative stuff, like answering phones and emails and just helping out with those different things, because we want Tyson focusing on his strengths, which is his tech stuff, and it's more than you can imagine what he does. So that's exciting. We know our mission. We know our vision. But do we know our values very well? Can somebody tell me what the core values of our church is? Generosity? No. There we go. So these are our core values that when we were developing our mission, vision, and values, these aren't just things that we just kind of picked out of the air. We really thought about and prayed over, what is it that makes this church tick? What are our core values? And along with each of these, there will be some main scriptures that, and I think they've been in the bulletin the last little bit. And so over the next little while, as those who are going to be preaching and stuff, we've just kind of, maybe we'll be focusing on these areas over the next little while. So that'll kind of be our focus for everybody as we preach and teach, to let everybody know what our core values are and work on that for a couple of months or however long it takes. We're going to have a focus on that. And then going into the fall, we're going to be starting another series of Bible studies that's going to come through with messages on Sunday, and I think it's called God's at War. It's the next series of the guy that wrote Not a Fan. So this is the continuation of that. So that'll be some focus going into the fall for a couple of months. That'll be where our study groups are at, focusing on that, and then they'll be preaching to carry on with what's being taught that week. And then, just the way it's working out, which is absolutely tremendous, we are going to be seeing all of our missionaries in about the next, between now and next February. So, you know what? Things are happening. I mean, we've got a good focus here for the next little while. And I'm trying to get Matt Glombek, who is the PAOC chaplain at the U of A that we support as well. He wants to come and speak, so we're just trying to get a date in the fall, probably in September sometime, for him to come and speak. So we've got everybody coming. So it's awesome. We've updated the church directory, and there's copies at the desk back there if you need them. Keep watching the bulletins for what's going on. The website, Tyson is doing a great job of keeping the website up to date. Things are good. We got to focus. Facebook is up, so it's all good. Amen? Amen. Amen. So family matters, and I'm tying in family matters with one of our core values today of tenacity. Now, how are we going to tie those two together? Well, I'm glad you asked. Tenacity. Tenacity is sticking with something when the going gets tough. Have you ever seen, there's that cartoon, that stork, and he's swallowing that frog, and the frog's about halfway down, but the frog's arms are out choking the stork? That's tenacity. Don't ever give up, right? There's that one. Or there's, I know when I had this little dog when I was young, and he loved to play tug-of-war. You know, and you get him chewing on something, and you'd pull it and everything, and you could pick him right off the ground, and he'd still be hanging on. You ever done that with a little dog before? And he just keeps hanging on to it, and his all 4 feet are off the ground? That's tenacity, right? Never giving up. Tenacity also means the ability to overcome a great mass of force set against something. So that would be like a bridge. Has the tenacity to hold back the force of all those vehicles coming against it, or the weight against it. You know, so to make a family work, it takes tenacity. It takes gumption. You got to be all in. Because it just seems like in this day and age, it's so easy to walk away and not try. And there's so many dysfunctional families out there, I think, because, you know, there's just not enough effort put into working at it. And, I mean, there's other circumstances, of course, that things can't work, but a lot of the time I think it's because of that. There just isn't enough effort put in. Why marriages fail, you know, there's just no tenacity, not enough try, not enough commitment. It takes an effort to keep a family strong and on track, and not only a natural family, but, you know, a church family too. Because it's got to be really lonely to have nobody. You know, even if there's one other person, whether it's a spouse or a sibling or whatever it is, to have no one else, how sad. But you know, I think that's one reason why the church exists, is to be a family, to bind up the brokenhearted. And in Psalm 68:5, you know, it says that God will be a father to the fatherless. And I was looking up the scripture in my commentary, and it says this about the verse: He provides the warmth and fellowship of a happy home for the lonely. And the church plays a big part in that. Mark 3, verses 34 and 35, it said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Anyone who does God's will. So get it done. Be tenacious. A little bit of a sermon review here, because it really ties in with what I'm saying today. Corey's last message, you know, he had those 6 points. And the first one was be diligent. In Acts 20:28, it said, be on guard and watch out for one another. Number two is pray for wisdom and discernment. It's going to be a quick review. Romans 16:19, be wise about what is good and innocent of evil. I think there used to be a song about that, wasn't there? Romans 16:19 says, yeah, okay, that's the one. Be excellent at what is good, be innocent of evil. Anyway, okay, be blameless and live in unity. That was the third one. 2 Corinthians 13:11, be of one mind and live in peace. And Acts 4:32 said, all the believers were in one heart and mind, or they were of one accord. You know, I was thinking about this, about that verse, all the believers were of one accord. You know, I got to thinking about our spring cleaning we had at church here, our spring, whatever we want to call it, cleaning, I guess, is the big thing, or rearranging or reorganizing. There was a lot of stuff here. In all the corners, man, there was a lot going on, and you know, there were a lot of things that were used in the past that you know, we needed. They were used for various things we were doing at that point in time. But a lot of that stuff didn't apply anymore, but we were kind of hanging on to it and just storing it. And, you know, but there's new things that have happened as time has gone on in the life of the church here. And, you know, we needed to make some room for the new things. So we got rid of some stuff. We reorganized it. We replaced it. We gave it a new home if we kept it. We needed to make room for the future, those things that were taking up space. And as a church, you know, weren't we were all of one accord that day, you know? Everybody had a role to play that day. Everybody had their piece of what was going on. Each of us had a purpose moving toward a common goal. And with so many hands that were working that day, you know, it was a lot of fun that day. It was a lot of work, but I really enjoyed it because we got a lot done in a short period of time because of all the hands at work. And that's not only talking about spring cleaning, that's where we're going as a church, one accord, being together. Number four that day said, prepare ourselves for the battles ahead. In Ephesians 6, of course, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and put on the full armor of God. Number five was, don't be nervous. God believes in you and me. Philippians 4:4 said, praise God always. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Are you feeling a little bit more at ease after I gave you, kind of a Cole's Notes version of what's happening here? You know, I know when you don't have a pastor in place, there's kind of that maybe that I had one or two people saying, you kind of get that, what are we going to do now? Kind of thing, you know? But it's not about, that's not what it's about, you know? We're going to keep moving forward. Before Corey left, I said, okay, you sure God hasn't said, okay, test is over, you get to stay? And he assured me that God hadn't said that to him. So I was only kidding. Yeah, yeah. It didn't happen. But number six that he had that day really ties in with what we're talking about today. And it was have the tenacity to bash on regardless. And of course, that's part of our vision here is to bash on regardless. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12, it says, but you, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Get in a scrap for your faith. You know, don't be shy. You know, hang on to your faith. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So get your mitts on that eternal life that you were called when you confess Christ as Lord in the presence of all of us or whoever it might have been. Fight the good fight. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, I got this out of the Message Bible, and it explains it so wonderfully. Do you see what this all means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on? It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. And that's in the NIV, that's where it says the author and perfecter of faith. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I love that last part. It'll shoot adrenaline into your souls. When you find yourself flagging in faith, go over that story again of what Christ did for you. Go over that story again of how you got to where you are today. You know, remember the battles you went through that you won and that you came through. Remember the battles that maybe weren't so good, but God brought you through them anyway and you were better because of it. You know, remember those stories. That Message translation talks about being that pioneer. And I think the last message I did was quite a while ago, but I talked about having a pioneering spirit. And the thing about pioneers is that they keep moving forward. There's a difference between being a pioneer and being a settler. Pioneers, constant change is their motto. They're not afraid to try new things, to keep moving to that next destination, to see what's over that next mountain, or that next hill. Settlers, they're counting and they're resisting the cost of change. You know, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this or not. This looks hard. Pioneers, they daily give to God in total abandon and dedication to know God's will, whereas settlers will give of themselves to God only to a degree and to a certain point. Pioneers are single-minded and unafraid of making mistakes. I must have some pioneer in me because I know I can make a lot of mistakes. So, settlers are double-minded. They're afraid of mistakes. Their concerns are seldom translated into action. Pioneers, they can be unpredictable. They're less concerned about their time, but they're reliable. Settlers are predictable. They're cautious to the point of immobility. So we want to be pioneers here in this family. We want to keep looking over that next horizon as God leads. We want to keep going where he calls us to go. But you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I've often thought, God, why do you use the church to reach people? Because it seems awful imperfect at times. Sometimes the church, I'm not just talking about the church as a whole, we seem to be our own worst enemy at times, you know? You know, we're good at messing stuff up, and you know, there's times that, you know, I've met a lot of people that said, well, I used to go to church, but so-and-so did this, or this happened, or whatever the reason, they walked away from their faith or their church or whatever. But you know, I learned something recently. I was reading a devotional, and it really gave me a new perspective on this kind of thing, and I'm just going to read it for you. It's called Church is Family. I completely understand that not all churches are healthy or life-giving. I would be the first to admit that church is flawed and imperfect. It all boils down to this: not all people are healthy. You see, a church isn't a building. It's not an organization, and it's not a religion either. A church is a family. So let's think about the terminology that God uses. It's all intentionally chosen. God is Jesus' Father. Jesus is God's Son. It's no accident that God chose the words that describe family. When we go to church, we're getting the family together at Dad's house. The building is not the church, just as the house is not your family. It's just where you hang out. Some families are very dysfunctional, yet it would be very unfortunate to assume that all family units do damage because of the behavior of some. The same is true for church. It's so unfortunate that the unhealthy behavior of some has kept thousands from experiencing church as it's really meant to be. Healthy families aren't perfect, and neither are healthy church families. Healthy families aren't perfect, and neither are healthy church families, but despite its flaws, family enriches life and helps make it incredible. Church is meant to be filled with people who are passionate about learning, growing, worshiping God, and reaching out to others. It's a family that loves, accepts, and forgives no matter what. And as I was reading that, it kind of tied in with another meaning of tenacity, something that it really I had never heard of before. But another meaning that tenacity has, and it's actually in the fiber or textile application. Tenacity is actually it's the measure of strength of a fiber, it's called a specific strength or the breaking length of a fiber. So what it is if you take a piece of whatever fiber it is and hold on to it by the end and let it hang vertically, it's the strength that it has to hold weight before it breaks. That's the tenacity of a fiber. So, of course, if you think of a single strand, it's going to be a lot weaker than if you braided strands together, right? Well, isn't it neat that in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You know, I pray a prayer like this quite regularly, that I ask Jesus to be the center of our marriage, and that our marriage would be a cord of three strands that is not easily broken with Christ as the center. Tenacity, that braided strand. Why not a chain? A chain is strong. But you know how the saying goes, right? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Weakest link. Each link just relies on itself to maintain that strength within the chain, right? It never connects with any of the links really farther down the chain, right? Never has interaction with those other parts of the chain. I guess if a chain was lying in a pile on the shop floor, kind of all them links would be touching. But that chain wouldn't be fulfilling its purpose then, would it? As a church, you know, if we were to compare ourselves to a chain as a family of believers, if someone new were to come in and become a part of this family and we were like a chain, you know, they might be a link. They might become a link. But with that minimal interaction, you know, you wouldn't know what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. You wouldn't know who they were. But as a braided cord, with Christ as that center strand, and you weave that together with 5, 10, 30 other strands, what kind of strength does that provide? Because the strands are all intertwined and woven together, they all strengthen each other at various points in the braid. If one strand is weakened within all those 40 strands, if one gets weak or it's unhealthy, it still draws strength from those other 39 strands woven together. At different times, I could be that unhealthy strand. Maybe you would be. So we're strengthened by the rest. But then when we're strengthened again, we can support those weak strands. And when the new strands are woven in, those new folks that come, and I believe they will come, they have interaction at various places in that cord. They interact with each one of us. Might not be as much as with some or with others, but everybody interacts. So we get strong as we're woven together. There becomes great tenacity in those strands, in the cord of, that is the church. And we looked at Hebrews 12 a little earlier there, and in the message part, and I just referred to the NIV where it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And Jesus gives us that faith to carry on. He created that faith. He'll put that finishing touch on our faith as we keep our eyes on Him, you know, stay in your word, keep praying. But the Bible also says in 2 Timothy 1:6 that we are to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline. So you got to fan it into flame. You know what it's like sometimes when you're camping and, you know, you just have some coals left from the night before and you want to start another fire, you know, and you've got just a couple embers, right, and you put some kindling in and, you know, you got to start just fanning that flame a little bit, blowing on it. Not too hard, because you blow it out, right? Let the Holy Spirit just blow on those embers if you're struggling, if there's, you know, the flame has died down in you and all that's left is a couple of embers. We got to play our part too. We got to fan into flame that gift. Fan it into flame. And you know, sometimes when you're fanning it into flame and it starts to get a little heat there's a lot of smoke that comes up and it gets in your eyes, makes it hard to see the smoke. You can't see through it very well. Then you got to have some patience. You got to have some patience. You can't start blowing on it too hard and trying to make things happen faster than they should because you'll blow it out. So you just got to be patient. Keep fanning it. Keep blowing on it. Holy Spirit, blow on it. And then when that flame catches fire and starts burning really hot, the smoke disappears and things get hot and everything around you burns up too. So when your faith gets on fire again, you start burning up everything around you too and be in that flame for the Lord. So use your gifts. Stay focused. Do what you do best in serving Jesus. Bash on regardless. Keep going. So you know what that means, eh? No schlumping. Glad you asked. What is schlumping? You know when the kids are young and or whatever, or you're trying to get your mother-in-law to Walmart and you know, you ask them to do something and it's like, "Oh, this is hard. I don't want to leave." And their bones start to turn to rubber. "I don't want to go. I can't do. Do I have to do this?" "Oh, you know, that's schlumping. I don't want to do this. This is hard. We don't have a pastor. And what's with the board? A couple of bald guys, a turkey farmer, and a bank manager. That really inspires." Sigh. Sad face, exclamation mark. Sorry, I'm just posting on my Facebook page so the world knows how sad I am. Come on, that's not us. That's not Chauvin Gospel Center. Come on. That isn't us. That's not who we are. You got to be like that dog, hanging on to that whatever it is. Be dogged. Have that doggedness. You got to get your grr on. So I told the girls when they used to speed skate a little bit, they had various lengths of races, but you'd have one short race that was a 50 meter, whatever it was. So you'd have to be really ready off the starting block, because if you weren't the first into that first corner, chances are you weren't going to, you know, win the race, because one lap isn't very long to try and get at the front. So I'd always say to Shelby and Emily, I'd say, okay, you ready? Got to get your girl on. Come on, be ready. And Shelby would give me the, really, Dad? I don't think I need that kind of thing. You know how it goes, right? So anyway, you know, that's just, anyway. So get your girl on, you know, and we can do it. We can do it. Amen. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Be tenacious. Get your grr on. We know our mission. We have a vision, and we're getting to know our values better. We carry out that mission, and we share the vision by being real with people. Be you. Just be you. Share your story. Speak in a language that other people understand. When Emily, this last year, she had to do a thing for school on grandparents and go through all these questions with her grandparents, and she was speaking to Nikki's dad. And so some of the questions are, where did you grow up? Where was your favorite place growing up? What's your favorite food? Do you speak any second languages? And my father-in-law's answer was, yes, farmer. So if you're a farmer, you're going to have a little bit different language that you can speak in when you're around others. You don't have to be weird when you're sharing your faith. Just speak the language that you know how to speak. I speak some cowboy. So when I'm at her open, you know, we speak in terms that others might know, like, geez, that steer ducked out on me, but I got him caught, and right on the switch, the heeler pantyhosed him. A lot of you may not know what that means, but lots of cowboys do. So we have that, be you. Be you in the sphere of influence that you are in, and use the language that God has given you. We support one another here. If you're a farmer, speak farmer. If you're a banker, speak banker. If whatever it is, be that person that God has made you to be. He's placed you there for a reason and a purpose for a time such as this. And as we come together, then we strengthen one another as that cord. We support one another. We are that strong strand. Never give up. Never give up. Hang on like that dog. Be a hang dog. Hang dog. CGC, home of the hang dogs. That's good. Write that down, Tyson. That might be a 3G men's t-shirt someday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for family. Thank you for tenacity. Thank you for tenacity. Keep on keeping on. We can do it. We can do it. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Blessed God, I pray that this message has meant something to somebody out there today. I pray that, God, you would use it to further your kingdom, to glorify, to strengthen others, Lord, to just give us a focus to maintain where we're going, God, that we keep moving forward in our mission, our vision, and our values, God. Thank you, Lord, that you have a perfect plan for us here as a church and as individuals, God, that you never change. You stay the same. And Lord, we just need to cling to you and stay the course. So we just praise you and thank you for that now, Lord, in Jesus' name. If there are any out there today, Lord, that, you know, this has stirred something in your hearts, I just pray that if that's you today, you know, just come up and talk to me later. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to do that with you. God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future, for the direction we're on, God. Be tenacious, everybody. Be tenacious. Bash on regardless. Never give up. Hang on to the Lord with all you got. If he picks your feet up off the ground, that's okay. Keep hanging on. It's going to be a great ride. Just praise you and thank you for that now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.